Well, good morning. I want to welcome all of you to our service. Obviously, this is not our normal Sunday morning service because I'm looking at an empty auditorium. Like most churches, because of the coronavirus, we have temporarily had to cancel our services. And that certainly saddens my heart. And I pray that it won't be long before we can return to normal. We can start doing things as we normally do. But until then, it looks like we're going to be having church online. I will be putting some new sermons and some new teaching on each week. And I will also continue during the week to post some thoughts on our Facebook page. And so these are some things that hopefully will be a blessing. In a little bit, I'm going to preach a message that I have titled, Do What You Can. Do What You Can. But before I actually get into the message, there's a few other things that I would like to do. First of all, I want us to have a word of prayer. So if you would, please join with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings, for all of your goodness, for your love, your mercy. Lord, we thank you most of all for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him into this world to die on a cross for our sins and rise again the third day that we could have eternal life as a free gift. And Lord, I thank you for your provision, your protection, for how you've watched over us. Lord, I pray you continue to do so. Lord, we do pray that soon you could take away this coronavirus, that we could get back to normal life. Lord, I know we don't deserve it, but we ask you for it. We ask you for it in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, for all the people, not just in America, but all over the world that are affected by it. We pray, Lord, you'd give healing, that you'd touch bodies. Lord, we pray for families that's lost loved ones through this. We ask you to be with them, to give them comfort. And we pray that as few lives as possible will be lost through this. And just ask again, Lord, that you help it to go away real soon. But until then, I pray you would help us to walk in faith. Help us to keep our minds stayed on thee. Help us to trust you with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. And know that you are still God, that you are sovereign, you're in control, and that in your time and in your way, you'll bring it to pass. And we pray, Father, that you would bless this time we have together now. Honor your word and bless it as only you can. And I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. What I want to do now is, for the benefit of our congregation, read a thank you card that was sent to us by the latest missionaries we had in. Not long ago, we had Stephen and Leslie Carrier, missionaries to Chile, in our church. And they were certainly good people. Thank the Lord for allowing them to come, giving us the opportunity to meet them. But they sent us a thank you card that says, Dear Pastor and Mrs. Parker and the New Hope Independent Baptist Church, we want to say thank you so much for allowing us to come be with you all and to present the ministry to Chile. We had a wonderful time getting to meet you. Thank you for the generous love offering and for allowing us to stay in your missions house, which now ranks as one of our favorite locations to stay. We pray God continues to use you and that we may be able to partner together in reaching Chile with the gospel. God bless you all in Christ, Stephen and Leslie Carrier, carriers of the gospel to Chile. We certainly want to continue to pray for them, and we want to pray for all of our missionaries, and really not just our missionaries, but missionaries all over the world. There are a lot of missionaries that are in different countries that are being affected by this virus as well. And we want to pray for them, pray for their families, and ask God to take care of them just like we're praying he'll take care of us here in the States. One other thing that I'd like to do before I get into the message is play a song that I believe will be a blessing to your heart. It is preceded by a short testimonial and then a song that I'm sure most of you are familiar with. But I want you to listen to it. I think it's appropriate, and I believe it will certainly be a blessing to you.
Because I'm telling you, as we've traveled throughout the United States, Canada, the Bahamas, and most everywhere there is to go, everywhere that we go, people all across this world are looking for hope and peace and love and contentment. And that'll only be found in the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And to feel what I feel in my heart tonight in this place, I would not take it for all of the money that's in Fort Knox, Kentucky tonight. And I bless the Lord for what Christ has done for us in our lives. You know, Brother Brian was sharing with you all that we've been singing for many, many years. I remember it was probably 25 years ago that my mom and daddy took me and my little brother Tim and my sister Kim Green Hopper's my sister. And my daddy played the piano, and we went to Jasper, Florida to sing one night. When we got there, I'll never forget, we got to meet a wonderful man and woman of God by the name of Colbert and Joyce Croft. They're great people, great people. But how many people know tonight that sometimes that real bad things can happen to real good people? Raise your hand. It happens, don't it? And you know what it did to them. I think one thing that Colbert Croft taught me that night was that you and I have to have the test before we can have the testimony in our lives. And it was that night that I remembered, as Colbert gave his testimony, how he and Miss Joyce had went through one of the worst, most difficult storms that any family would ever face. One of the deepest, darkest valleys. And one night in the privacy of their home, they had gone as far as they could go. They were beaten down so far from the weights of this world, they felt like they couldn't go on no farther. And every way that Colbert looked out of every window, all he saw was the storms of life crashing in on him and his family. And he felt like there was no way out and nothing else to do. And that night, he and just Joyce, they fell upon their knees in the privacy of their living room, and they tried to cry out to God. And I remember Colbert saying that night that his heart was so broken, he was so discouraged that he didn't even know how to pray no more. He said when he bowed his head and tried to pray that he couldn't pray, all he could do was just weep, and all he could say was, "Lord, help me. God, would you please make a way when everybody else said there is no way? God, will you make a way? Will you help me?" That's all he could pray. And you know what? I guarantee that there's a group of people tonight that's been just exactly where Colbert and Joyce Croft was that night. Because tonight, Calvin Ray will tell you that the storms of life will come. And most of the time, they'll come without any warning. And don't ever think that they can't knock on your door, because they can and they will. And that night when they got through praying, they got up. Miss Joyce went over and sat down. They had an old upright piano set in the living room of their home, and she sat down. About 1 o'clock in the morning, Colbert came over and flipped the lamp on, sat down beside Miss Joyce. And that night as they sat there, feeling like they didn't have a friend left in the world and they couldn't take another step, at 1 o'clock in the morning, God visited that little house where they were. And in the midst of their storm, at 1 o'clock in the morning, God come walking on the water to Joyce and to Colbert Croft. And that night as they sat there, he picked up a pen and paper. And when he felt like that he couldn't go on no more, God began to give Colbert some words to a song. Do you know what song that man wrote that night? He sat there and he wrote some words that said, "Well, I thought that number one would surely be me." He said, "I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought But he said, "Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you holding. My daddy went to heaven last year. He said, "Son, it's down on your knees is where you'll learn to stand." Tonight I declare before you people and my heavenly Father that
Well, amen. I hope that was as much of a blessing to your heart as it was to mine. That is a very real song. And the longer I live, the more real it becomes. Because I know that I certainly could not walk without the Lord holding my hand. And I thank the Lord for all of the ways that He's provided, taking care of me and my family through these years. But praise the Lord. I want you, if you would, to please take your Bible now and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 3. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to begin in verse 3, and I'm going to read through verse number 9. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. The Bible says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Years ago, I received a nugget of wisdom I've never forgotten. It says, "Do what you can until you can do what you want." Do what you can until you can do what you want. In my opinion, that is very applicable to our current situation. Because due to the coronavirus, man, that's a word I'm tired of hearing. But due to the coronavirus, there are many things right now we can't do that we want to do. Some of these things, I believe, in the grand scheme of things, aren't really all that important. And then others are very important. Some people would like to go out and simply have a sit-down meal in a restaurant with their family. Others would just like to go out in public without having to worry about being infected, or without having to worry about social distancing, or making sure they stay at least 6 feet from another individual. They'd like to be able to go to the grocery store, to Walmart, different places without being in fear of getting sick. Some people just want to go back to work. They've been laid off. Their jobs have shut down and they're struggling financially, and a lot of them are concerned about how they're going to pay their bills in the days to come. So they just want to go back to work, but they can't. There are businesses that want to reopen. Businesses all across this land have had to close their doors, and there's so much uncertainty about their future. And they would just love to be able to reopen. Families would like to go on vacations. Many of us would love to go to church. We'd like to be able to get back to normal, to meet with the people of God in the house of God. But right now we can't. These are things and so many more that we want to do, but at the current time, we can't do. So the question is, what do we do when we can't do what we want to do? That's the question. What do we do when we can't do what we want to do? Well, that's where the nugget of wisdom comes in. We do what we can until we can do what we want. In the passage of Scripture that I just read here in Mark chapter 14, we have the story of a certain woman we find from John's Gospel that her name was Mary. But this lady Mary comes to the house of Simon the leper where the Lord Jesus Christ was at, and she anoints him with what the Bible calls a very precious and costly ointment. It says there in verse number 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. Mark says very precious. John adds very costly. And the Bible says she broke the box and poured it on his head. See there in verses 4 and 5, there were some that had indignation within themselves. The word indignation means anger aroused by someone you deem unworthy. So there were people present who did not believe this woman was worthy to do what she did. The interesting thing is that when you read Matthew's account of this story, you find that the some were the Lord's disciples. And I can tell you, as I've said before, that many times your greatest critics will be God's people. They'll be some of the biggest critics you'll have to deal with in your Christian life. There'll be times when other Christians will think you're not worthy to do the things that you're doing for the Lord. And the truth of the matter is, none of us are worthy. Not a single person is worthy to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, we don't do what we do because we're worthy. We do what we do because He's worthy. But again, in the story, you find the disciples having indignation within themselves, thinking she wasn't worthy to do what she did. They even make the accusation that she wasted the ointment. They said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Which, in my opinion, shows just how little they thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read on there in the end of verse number 5, you find that they murmured against her. To murmur is to complain in low mumbling tones, is to grumble. It's a whispered complaint. So they're whispering amongst themselves, complaining about what this lady did. But in verses 6 through 9, you see the Lord's response to the criticism of His disciples. And as a kind of an introduction to the message, there's five things that I want to point out that the Lord said about what this lady did. First of all, in verse number 6, He said, let her alone. Let her alone. He stood up for her against His own disciples and told His disciples to leave her alone. I believe that is good advice for all of us when it comes to somebody doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to leave them alone. And what I mean is, we don't need to be critical. We don't need to be a hindrance, somebody that tries to stand in the way when somebody is trying to do something for the Lord. If you don't want to get involved, then don't get involved. But for heaven's sake, don't stand in the way of a person that's trying to do something for Jesus Christ. Another thing I see here, He said, is also in verse number 6, and that is that it was a good work. Jesus said, she hath wrought a good work on me. Not a bad work, a good work. The truth of the matter is, anytime somebody does something for the Lord Jesus Christ that does not violate the Scripture, it is a good work. The third thing I see is in verse number 8, in the last part of that verse, Jesus said that she came to anoint His body for the burial. Jesus said she has come aforehand, we say beforehand, ahead of time, to anoint My body to the burial. Now, I'm not sure if she knew that's what she was doing or not. Maybe she did. But what I do know is that that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said she did. That she came aforehand to anoint his body to the burying. Another thing I notice is in verse number 9. This is a fourth thing that he said. He said that she would be remembered for what she did. In verse 9, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Jesus said she would be remembered throughout the world. And she is. As a matter of fact, she'll be remembered for all time and eternity. Because the Lord gave us a record of her act in his infallible eternal word for all time and eternity, this lady will be remembered for breaking this box and pouring this costly, precious ointment on the Lord Jesus Christ. One other thing I want you to notice that he said about this lady is in the beginning of verse number 8, and I save it for last because it really is the one that applies to the message. He says in the beginning of that verse, "She hath done what she could." She hath done what she could. There were a lot of things that she couldn't do. Like anybody, she had her limitations. We all have limitations. With all of us, there's only a certain amount that we can do for various reasons. But we all have limitations. She had limitations. The Lord Jesus Christ knew there was only a certain amount she could do. But the great thing is that he said she did what she could. I wonder if that's true of us. Are we doing what we can? Again, we're all limited for various reasons. But are we doing what we can? Even though we have limitations, there are still things we can do. The Lord Jesus Christ said she had done what she could. That is something that was written on Fanny Crosby's headstone. I have some things here that I want to read to you about Fanny Crosby. I'm sure most of you have heard about her. But Fanny Crosby was born March the 24th, 1820. She died February the 12th, 1915, at the age of 94. She was an American mission worker, a poet, a lyricist, and composer. She was one of the most prolific hymnists in history, writing, listen now, more than 8,000 hymns and gospel songs. And many of those hymns and gospel songs we still sing today. Some of the greatest hymns in our hymn books were authored by Fanny Crosby. It goes on to say, with more than 100 million copies printed, despite being blind from shortly after birth. She wasn't born blind, but she became blind shortly after she was born. What happened is a fake doctor prescribed a treatment for a sickness that she developed. And this that he told her to do, this treatment cost her her eyesight. So she became blind shortly after she was born and lived the rest of her life that way. And yet, in spite of that, she wrote all of these poems and all of these great gospel hymns that we sing today. She did what she could. One time a preacher said to Fanny Crosby, "I think it is a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you." Miss Crosby responded by saying, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind." Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. She penned her first piece of poetry when she was 8 years old. I want you to listen to this. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. Praise the Lord. What an attitude. What a spirit of victory. What an example of a woman who truly did what she could. Just like the lady that Jesus talks about here in Mark chapter 14. This woman, Mary, did what she could. That is my challenge in this message, that all of us would do what we can. And that needs to be our goal in all of life, no matter what's going on in the world. But right now, during this time, when there are many things we can't do, what are we supposed to do? Well, during this time when there's so much we can't do, we need to do what we can. Yes, we are limited because of this virus. A lot of things that we once did with such freedom and liberty, we cannot do for the time being. But there are still things we can do. And I want to remind you of some of those things here in the next few minutes. These are things really that we can and should do all the time. The things that I'm going to mention are of a spiritual nature. They're not of a carnal nature, they're of a spiritual nature, and they're things that can feed us, things that can strengthen us, things that can help us to be strong during these times of uncertainty. First of all, let me say this. One thing we can do is pray. We can pray. Not long before all of this happened, I preached a message here at the church on prayer. Points to ponder about prayer. And I believe one of the greatest privileges we have as God's people is the privilege of prayer. The privilege to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father at any time, in any place. And even though there's a lot going on in this world now, and there's many things we can't do, one thing we can still do and need to do is pray. Obviously, we can pray for this virus to go away. I think that's what all of us want. We want it to go away. That's human nature. Anytime there's suffering, anytime there's pain, anytime there's heartache, we want it to go away just as soon as possible. So we can pray for it to go away. We can pray for people that are sick with this virus. We can pray for people that are hurting over loved ones lost because of this virus. Something else we can pray is that the Lord would grow us through this situation. I do hope and pray that as God's people, we will not waste this trial. It's in the trials of life many times that God wants to grow us, wants to teach us things that we need to know, wants to show us things about ourselves that maybe we haven't seen before, wants to open our eyes to some of the problems that we have. Maybe through this we can ask the Lord to grow us. We can pray that He would help us to learn things from this situation about ourselves that we need to know. Maybe He would strengthen our faith in Him, that He would draw us closer to Him. I've found many times, as you have, that it's during the troubled times, the difficult times, it seems we want to get close to the Lord, and that's a good thing. But during this time, we can pray that God would grow us, that He would help us through this, to be better Christians. Another thing that we can do is read and study the Bible. We can still read and study the Bible. One of the most common excuses I've heard down through the years that Christians make for not praying and reading their Bible as often as they need to is a lack of time. Let's say, I just don't have the time. I'm too busy, got too much going on. I just simply don't have the time. Well, right now, a lot of people have much more free time than normal. One of the best ways I can think of to spend that extra time is in prayer, reading the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the food that we need to make us healthy and strong, to help us overcome sin, to help us overcome temptation. One thing I hear often about this coronavirus is that the ones who are most susceptible are the weak. Those that have been weakened by age, or maybe they have some other health issue that's weakened their body, their immune system. But it's the weak who are the most susceptible. And I can tell you that the Christians who are most susceptible to the viruses that would come against our spiritual lives are the ones who are weak from not spending time in prayer in the Word of God. If a person is not reading and studying the Bible the way they need to, if they're not taking in that spiritual food, then they will constantly and continually be weak spiritually. That's why a lot of Christians cannot handle pressure. It's why they fall in times of temptation. It's why many times they can't get victory over sin. It's because they're not strengthening themselves with the Word of God. We can pray. We can read and study the Bible. Another thing we can do is listen to preaching. Listen to preaching. This is where technology comes in. A lot is said about technology. A lot of complaints are made, and I've made plenty myself. And no doubt, oftentimes technology is used in a bad way. But there are some good things that come from technology. One good thing is that it affords us the opportunity to listen to preaching. There are people all over this country, all over the world, that are preaching the Word of God. And you can listen to them on the computer, through YouTube, different media outlets. Now, I would caution, there's people out there preaching stuff that's terrible, that you have no business listening to. It's not going to help you a bit, and you need to be careful about that. But I know personally there are a lot of Bible-believing preachers out there today that are preaching the Word of God. They're preaching the truth, and they can feed you. They can give you something from the Bible that will help you. And that's something that you can do. Instead of sitting around all day looking at CNN and Fox News and listening to all the negativity and all the stuff that they're saying to try to scare us to death, you can turn that stuff off and turn on the preaching of the Word of God and hear something that will help you spiritually. I do not understand these people that choose to sit in front of a television all day long and listen to constant negativity and stuff that comes against them spiritually. I don't understand why people want to do that when there's opportunity to build themselves up on their most holy faith, like the Bible says, and strengthen them spiritually. Listen to preaching. Find you some good Bible preaching and listen to that. It'll help you spiritually. That's something you can do during this time when you can't do what you want to do. We can pray. We can read and study the Bible. We can listen to preaching. Another thing we can do is listen to good gospel music. Now, music never is to take priority over the Word of God, but good gospel music is a blessing from the Lord. It's something that can stir you spiritually. It's something that can encourage faith. It's something that can give you the peace of God and get your mind back on the Lord the way it needs to be. Get you to thinking about Him instead of thinking about yourself or thinking about different stuff that's going on in the world. That's something you can do. You can listen to good gospel music. And just like there's bad preaching, there's bad music. Even stuff that's called Christian music sometimes is not Christian music. It's not something that a Christian ought to be listening to. There's plenty of good gospel music, just like the song that was played earlier. Stuff like that can help you. And again, instead of wasting so much of the day and so much of time focusing on all the negativity and all the stuff that's coming out, spend some time listening to preaching, listening to good gospel music that can help you. Another thing we can do is be an encouragement to others. Being an encouragement to others. One of the things you have to watch out for in times of difficulty is becoming self-centered. The truth is, I think most of us are pretty self-centered anyway. But it seems to ramp up even more during times of difficulty. I've looked around, as many of you have during this time, at the stores and how people just go in and they hoard up all this stuff and they take it out without any concern for other people whatsoever. I told somebody back when this was first getting going that things like this oftentimes show you true human nature. Hear people bragging all the time on man, talking about how good man is. Oftentimes, you find that man really isn't all that good. They're depraved in their nature. All of us are. You have things like this happen, and you see people run into a store and they buy up all the toilet paper and all the other stuff they can buy up, and they, honest to God, do not care if another soul gets any of it as long as they have it. They're self-centered, selfish, thinking only about themselves. That's not how God wants us to be as His people. He doesn't want us to be looking inward all the time, thinking just about ourselves and our families and our needs. He wants us to be an encouragement to others, and that's something that we can do during this time. We can choose to be a beacon of hope. You hear all this stuff, and it almost paints a picture of hopelessness. Like there's no hope. Listen to me. As long as there is a God in heaven, friend, there's hope. And God is still God. God is still in control. And the Lord would have us as His people to be a beacon of hope, to spread some joy, to encourage peace. He wants us to be a light in the darkness that is prevailing in this world. That's something we can do. We can be an encouragement. I realize we got to practice social distancing. What they want us to do. But there's still ways we can reach out to people and be an encouragement. We can pick up a phone, give people a call. How many people have you called since this started? Just to check on them. Just to tell them you love them. Just to tell them you're praying for them. That you're thinking about them. Telling them that if there's some way you can be a help, just to let you know. You can call people. You can call people that are sick. You can call people that are shut in. Call people in your church family. You can make calls. And not spend all of your time on the phone with them talking about this virus and all the stuff that's going on, but talk about good things. Talk about the Scripture. Encourage them in the things of God. Give them some reassurance. some hope that, like all things, this too will come to pass. You can text people. I'm not a big texter myself, but that's something you can do. Just text people. Sometimes just a simple text that says, "Hey man, I love you. Hey sister, I'm praying for you. Hey man, the Lord loves you." Just a simple text. You can send cards. That's something we do here at our church that I thank the Lord for. That ministry has certainly been a blessing to a lot of people. Maybe you're not necessarily a part of our card ministry, but you can still send cards. Get you some cards and send them to different people. Just a word of hope, a word of encouragement, something to let them know that they haven't been forgotten, that they're in your thoughts and your prayers. You can be an encouragement to others. That's something you can do. One other thing I want to say, and this is certainly not an exhaustive list, really I could say much more, but one other thing I want to say that we can do is we can spend time with our families. We can spend time with our families. If there's some silver lining in all of this, it's that it's forcing families to spend more time together than they normally do. I'm hearing a lot now about families going camping together out in remote areas, going off fishing together, playing games together. Just today, I rode by a house. I saw a family out there in the yard playing together. Families are actually sitting down and eating meals together. Imagine that. They're actually sitting down and eating meals together. What a blessing. Families can spend time with each other. When we're not all pulled apart by this rat race of life that we've got ourselves involved in, we can get back to the basics, back to the things that really matter, spending time with our loved ones. Listen, families can have church together. I know right now it's not possible, or at least it's not wise for us to come together in our church buildings, but that doesn't mean we can't have church. In the Bible, you read in the New Testament of what we would call house churches, churches in people's homes. It's where saints would get together in the homes that they had, and they would have church together, house churches. You don't have to be in a church building to have church. Families can have church together. That's one of the greatest things you can do as a family. And I would say to the men, you are the spiritual leaders of your home. And the Lord expects you to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, to step up and be a spiritual leader in your home. To make sure that you and your spouse, or you and your spouse and children, have some time together where you, as a family or as a couple, have church. Now, maybe you don't feel comfortable preaching a message, but maybe you could read some scripture and pray with your family. Or maybe you could gather your family around and do as I said earlier, find some good preaching and listen to that preaching as a family. That's something you can do. And as a family, you can pray together, just like we pray together when we go to church. As a family, you can sing together. Get you a hymn book. Sing songs. Man, what a way for a family to spend time together. Just having church. That'll do so much more for you than listening to all of this stuff that's being put out. Help you. So what do you do when you can't do what you want to do? Well, you do what you can. That's the challenge. Let's do what we can. In conclusion, I would say don't use this situation as an excuse to lay down on God. And don't sit on a pity pot whining about what you can't do. Be like this lady. Be like Fanny Crosby. Be like many other Christians down through the years. And do what you can. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come to you once again. We thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you for your great love and mercy, the provision you give. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us to be encouraged to do what we can. I know there's a lot of things we want to do that we can't right now. There's still things we can do. And I pray you'd help us to do them for your glory and your honor. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.